I have on my heart today the words of a benediction. Usually a benediction is reserved for the end of a service. It's a blessing as people leave the church. But today we have one for the sermon. And it's a very special blessing. I hope that you will be blessed by it as I have been. Just as Pat has read to us, it is a blessing from God upon us. And there's great wisdom in all of the blessing here. And so please open your hearts now to that blessing that God has for you in your life, wherever you are, whatever age, whatever place you are in your life and what's going on in your life. Receive this blessing from God to strengthen you and to encourage you and to bless you with his joy and peace. Peace is the way this blessing begins. Now may the God of peace. Now may the God of peace. Do you have peace in your heart? Oftentimes we forfeit peace because of things that happen, and we're encountering things in life that throw us off. You know, but the peace of God is real, and it begins in this way, and it's so important that we remember that we have peace in God. Peace so that we can calm down and be the people that God truly wants us to be. Not affected so that we get thrown off track, but that we remain calm in his peace so that we can achieve the things that he wants us to achieve. You may be frustrated with your life that you don't have peace and you forfeit it and it goes away and you feel like, oh, why can't I have peace in my heart? Well, oftentimes the reason for that is that we're not maybe far enough along in our faith so that we, you know, have reached that point, but God is doing a work in us. And so don't be discouraged if you don't have peace, but continue, just as we heard in the letter from Jesus today, to hold fast. Hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to the hand of Jesus, and know that just because something happened to take the peace away, it doesn't mean it went away. Because God is peace. He is never going to leave. He is always filled with peace. He is peace. Another aspect of peace that we learn about through God's peace is forgiveness. We're not at peace with God because of our sin. And when we sin, we lose peace in our hearts. But it's temporary, just like Susan was saying, right? We now pray to God and confess our sins. And so we need to practice confession in our lives to be able to stay at peace with God and to remain in him. Right? Sin is something that's very unpopular in the world. People don't want to hear about it. They think that it's a Christian kind of a legalism or a condemnation, but it's not. It's in the Bible that teaches us that unless we understand that sin is death and that we will die in our sins, we cannot truly understand what life is about, and we cannot have that life that God gives to us. And so we bow before God, and we pray in confession of our sins each day and say, Lord, I need to change my heart, O God. Psalms 51 is a good psalm to keep at hand and to read each day. If you can't pray your own prayer, you can pray the prayer of David when he confessed his sins in Psalm 51. Right? And so now may the God of peace, God is peace, and he is giving you peace through his son Jesus Christ, who took away the sins of the world so that we would be one with God and we would be at peace with God. And that is the beginning of true peace. Secondly, okay, so I forgot to tell you, I came up with words beginning with P for each part of these blessings today. I was inspired by peace, beginning with P. And so I'm going to give you hopefully some words that capture those truths, beginning with the letter P, and you can write these down in your bulletin if it helps you. So the first one is peace. The second is promise. Promise. We've been learning about the promise of God to David on Wednesday nights with the Davidic covenant that he made with him, that his kingship would continue on forever, and David's kingship would continue on forever because Jesus was coming from his line. Right? So God's promise is very important to us. Now, what is that promise? that he would bring again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that right here, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. God promised to bring his son Jesus into the world to die for our sins, but to be risen from the dead so that we would also have life. And so there is a promise here for each one of us. Isn't that wonderful? We have peace, and then we have a promise that Jesus died on the cross but rose again, and that we have eternal life. And that is a promise of God that you claim as a believer in him. Think about that. You're having a bad day and you think, wait a minute, I have eternal life in Jesus. This is not a bad day. This is a day that is filled with promise. And suddenly the things that seem to be dark and gloomy, or, you know, casting some kind of a dim light on our life, become filled with his light. Because he overcame the grave, overcame all of the darkness, and he rose again. So we have promise in your life. Amen? So we have peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. And what do we have? Promise. Promise. Two great blessings today. Next, we now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. We were reading about that and singing about that today. But the word protection came into my mind. For it begins with P, peace. Why are we, you know, not afraid? Because we're protected by the good shepherd. If you want an immediate way to reach someone, and I really feel like this is something that God has given to us through that word shepherd, it is to tell people that there is a good shepherd watching over them. Put that out on the children, on the parents' social media. Your children are being watched by the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. He loves them and he's guiding them, and they are his flock. They are his sheep, and he cares about his sheep. Bring the word of God into your lives. Bring it into your social media. Bring it into all of the connections that you have. But begin by yourself, right, with yourself. I have a good shepherd watching over me. I am his sheep, and he is my shepherd, and I'm being watched over. All the teachers, right? You are shepherds. You are under shepherds. It says in Peter, he teaches that there's the chief shepherd is Jesus, and the under shepherds are those who serve him, right, in his flock and do his work. Teachers are those kind of shepherds. You're under shepherds, but you are shepherding children to the truth, right? And we who are sheep and are maybe not teachers are being guided by that shepherd. And we can also be those kind of shepherds to other people in our lives by being his witnesses, right? So far we have peace, promise, and protection. Can we say that? Peace, promise, protection, right? The good sheep. By the way, I'm going to be giving a prayer this coming Thursday night down on Euclid Avenue for 9/11. And God put it on my heart during that time to say a prayer asking the good shepherd to watch over his sheep, and especially those people who lost loved ones in 9/11. And so this very, very, you know, well-known psalm is not limited to funerals, right? It is for giving people who are alive hope for the future. And so please pray for that prayer and come if you have time. It won't be a very long service. The fire department meets there, and they are the ones that went in, many of them went in to fight the fires in the World Trade Center and lost their lives. And so we have an opportunity as people in this world to be blessed, to know we have a good shepherd, and then tell other people, you have a good shepherd, and his name is Jesus. Be blessed. You could read this blessing to them, right? Okay, so the next one, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead, are the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. This is one I call provision. How? By what means? By what means? It is by the blood of the eternal covenant. This covenant is part of that promise. It's so they're all interwoven here, right? But God provided for us through his son, the blood of Jesus, the means by which we can have eternal life. Our sins are washed away, and we're given new life. It's important for each one of us in our lives as we go along to understand the severity of sin, that it took a Savior who is the Son of God to leave his throne and to come into this world to die on a cross, a terrible death that we all deserve because of our sin, but he took it upon himself. He is our substitute. He died in our place that way. But that is a provision for our lives so that God provides in the best way that we would have life through Jesus Christ. But that extends into all different kinds of ways. One of the biggest lessons children need to learn as they go along in life is that they're being provided for. To be thankful for those who are providing their needs. That was one of the biggest things that I failed in miserably as I was a child. When I was a child, I was arrogant, and I took my parents for granted, and I didn't speak to them lovingly, you know, sometimes, and I loved them, but at the same time, the ugliness of sin came through, and I would say things sometimes about my mother's cooking that was very hurtful. Never even seeing that she was the one that spent all of her time providing for that, working hard, my father working hard overtime, and so that he could feed, you know, all of our family members, all the kids in the house, and then to say something like that to your mother, I mean, it's really ridiculous. It was just terrible. But that is what sin does. It rears its ugly head. And sometimes we hurt the ones that are closest to us. Isn't that true? But that's what Jesus did. He came into that situation where we've done something that makes us feel like I'm so ashamed, and he removes the shame. He removes the shame from us, but we need to confess our sins and say, I can't live like that anymore. I need to love my mother and father. I need to love those who are providing for me. And then also it extends to God and say, I am blessed by God with this life. He has given me so much. Let me count the ways. Right? So God provides for us. The next one. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. And this is purpose. God equips us for something. He gives us a purpose in life. Right? He gives us a purpose in life. We attended the death of, the funeral of a friend of ours in Texas last week. We weren't here. We traveled down there to be with his wife and his family as they mourned his death. But when we went to Germany, he was there with the United States military teaching in the schools there, but he fought in Vietnam and he was a pilot and he risked his life. You know, he was a real hero in that sense. But God provided him and his wife for Lee Chan and me when we came to Germany, not knowing anyone at all, and they invited us into their home. And we met at church, and they said, why don't you come over to our house and have a meal with us? And we got to know them, and it developed into this great friendship. But that was because of God, right? God equipped them with hospitality and with love in their hearts so that when they saw people who were coming into a situation and they were new to the country and the area, they reached out and they loved them. And that's what they did. Those people loved us so much. And that's what God calls us to. He equips us with different gifts in our lives, right? So that we can make a difference in people's lives in this world, right? He equips us with everything good that you may do his will. What is God's will for your life? We need to talk about that in our lives as well, right? But that is a blessing of God. He equips us. He equips us. He gives us our lives with things that we can do so that we can help other people and be a real witness in this world. Be servants to other people in the world and show them that God is real. Amen? So that is another great blessing he gave to us. So we have peace, promise, protection, provision, purpose, right? And the next one is, I'll read back on the scripture. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. And the next one is obviously pleasure. Pleasure. Doing that which is pleasing in his sight, right? Working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. He's working things in us that he is pleased with, right? Things that he upholds as being very important. One of the greatest ones, if not the greatest, is love, right? It's pleasure. We take pleasure in something, and we're taught how to take pleasure in something, but that comes from God, who seeks to give us, actually working in us, that which is pleasing in his sight. He wants us to be doing things that are pleasing to him. Our attitudes are very important. We need to have an attitude that is going to be pleasing to God, right? We want to be aware of that we have an attitude, and an attitude, and we were talking about that today in prayer before church, the attitude is so crucial. It could actually make or break a situation or a day that you're going to have, right? It's just that old saying. I'll probably mess this up because I always do with these kind of things, but if you're given lemons, make lemonade, right? A lot of wisdom in that, isn't there? A lot of wisdom in that. You get a lemon, you have something bad happen, how are you going to turn around? You get a bad grade in school, how are you going to make that into lemonade? How are you going to take something where you start, you know, oftentimes we compare ourselves to other people, and this thing called self-pity comes in, and it starts to grab onto us, and the devil loves to use self-pity, and, oh, I feel so bad for myself, and, oh, I got a bad grade, and I didn't do so well. Well, God looks at us in those kind of situations, and he says, I know you feel bad about it, and he loves us, and he wants us to feel better, but he says, I can help you change that around. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Study more. Learn from your mistakes. You did something wrong. Everybody makes mistakes. What are you going to make from it? Right? Change it. The world is getting you down. Be that person that is going to make a difference in the world. God uses us, and he can give us the way to do that, right? He's working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. He's at work in our hearts, and you can say in those moments, God, help me to do what is pleasing in your sight. You get attracted to something that's dirty on the internet. You get attracted to something, say something mean because somebody's calling you a name. Turn it away and say, God, work that which is pleasing in your sight in me at this time. Teach me. Teach me what to do so that I can be a blessing to you. Bless me with that, Lord. Right? So we have peace, promise, protection, provision, purpose, and pleasure that God is working in us, and we want to do what is pleasing in his sight. And the last one, we'll read through it again. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. The last P is for praise, right? It is for praise. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And that is what we want to do each day of our lives. It's not only on Sunday when we're led in praise that way. We want to praise God always. I probably shared this before, but I remember when I was in seminary and they were talking about ways we could have a more effective quiet time. And one of my fellow students said to me, so John, do you sing a song in your quiet time? And I was like, you know, I'm a singer. I went to school to study singing. And I don't use the gift that is most obvious for praising God. And sometimes we overlook that which is obvious, most obvious that we have as a gift in our time with God in prayer and in looking at the Bible and reading it and sharing those things. Maybe sometimes, you know, like you feel like, oh, I don't want to show off, or I don't want to draw attention to myself in these kind of ways. Well, if you have the right attitude about it and you're not looking at it like you're showing off, or you're trying to do something like to bring attention to yourself, if you offer it to God and you say, Lord, use this gift that you gave to me and give me the right way that I can bring it across, then go for it. You know, don't hold back. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to be quiet. He wants you to be shy and not use those things that you've been given in life. So with the attitude of prayer and beginning in the morning, you pray to God and you ask him to use you and to, you know, use the gifts that you have for him so that other people will be blessed, you know, then he will do that. And it will be in the right way. You don't have to fear that it's showing off or doing something like that. Your prayer time and your time with God is going to guide you so that you guard against those kind of thoughts or those kind of words. But people are waiting to hear something new. In our field, in music especially, I can tell you that when you go in, I went to Manhattan School of Music. I met Lee Chan there. When you go to college, and I think college students here will also say that this is true. When you go to those colleges, you realize that there's a lot of talented people in the world, right? There's a lot of talented people in the world. It's a very humbling thing, and that could be a good thing, right? It brings you into a humble heart, and you feel like, okay, well, I need to really study hard, and I need to work hard, and I need to do well, and I want to, you know, achieve things too. But the idea is that you don't want to, like, show it off, but you want to show what you can do. And we learn from each other that way. It's a very healthy kind of environment where we learn from one another and inspire each other. Just like a lot of the athletes who run track see another person going a little bit faster than they are. And so they say, well, I want to go faster than they are, you know? But they're not thinking, I hate that person or I don't like that person, but they're just saying, you know, there's this competitive side of us that we want to develop also. It's okay to be, you know, a competitive person, but we also have to be a person who is humble and know that our gifts come from God. So humbly use your gifts to praise God. Life is meant to glorify Him. That is the simplest way to remember what Christianity is all about, what a life is all about, to be wonderfully and fearfully made, is to give glory to God who made you that way. Right? Use your gifts to glorify God. Praise Him. Work it into your life. Bring it in. You know, don't do what I did, which was to think, okay, well, I just have to speak and pray and read the Bible and things like that. Expand that with God's help, so that you're doing something pleasing to Him and bringing Him praise, even if it means just singing a song or drawing a picture while you're praying. Or you can, I don't know, there's all kinds of different things. Like mathematics have all kinds of equations, right? Those go way over my head, but for you, it could be something that you have fun with. Then have fun with it. See where it takes you in your mathematics. See where science takes you. See where history or literature or whatever, all these different kinds of subjects, what they do to you, they form you and ask for God's blessing so that you will see that in giving Him all the glory and praise. It's a promise. It's a promise, not just a word of encouragement. It's a promise from God that you will excel in the kingdom of God when you give Him your life and you say, Lord, use me so that I can give you glory. So let me just say this verse again and then review the seven P's. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.